Are you still there? I want to share with us something tonight before we go. And I read it from a very respectable minister. Not necessarily everything, but I got some information from what he wrote and shared. And I felt led before this convention to share it. And I believe tonight is when I'm going to share it. And I'm doing that right now. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, you know, we've been talking about times of refreshing. And a church, an assembly, you know, we said the word refreshing may not be revival. Revival is when you put life to a dead body. We're never dead. But if we use the term revival in the sense of we've been refreshed, you're tired, you're exhausted, sometimes you seem confused, sometimes you look discouraged, sometimes you've made errors in ministry and life generally, and then, you know, God has provided for us times, opportunities to be refreshed, to be stirred, to be ignited. And so when I read the man's short exhortation, I knew I was going to share it here. That was a few weeks back. I knew this is for this conference. I didn't even know how I was going to fit it in, but I've seen the trend now, so I know I'm going to do it now. So, you know, we must know that God's word is there to provide information for us. And we must read from God's word two things, the information and also the patterns that we see. Now, quickly, in Acts 3:19, the one we've been reading so far, when Peter speaks about the times of refreshing, which we have said is not just once, you know, it's true, you receive the Holy Ghost once. The Holy Ghost lives in us, abides in us forever. And we have the experience called being filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What we found out, they were filled more than once. In Acts 4 and 31, they were filled. In fact, Acts 4:8, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. So which means that we do have continual experiences, you know, that we ought to be open for and open to us. So definitely, quickly, what Peter was sharing, he was referring to something that had happened to him and to his other brethren, and not just once. So what we said in the afternoon, Jesus said to the criminal, he's no longer a criminal, he's now a brother in Christ. The ex-criminal, how do we call him now? That fellow on the cross. He said, today you'll be with me in God's garden. That's what he said. And we know that in that garden, in Genesis 3 and 8, God was walking in it. Jesus was walking, the word of the Lord was walking in that garden. And so, without a doubt, that is a tabernacle of God. The Garden of Eden is a tabernacle of God. You know, it doesn't mean God is not everywhere, but where he's tabernacled, where he runs his activities from. That's what the garden is. And so, when Jesus said to that fellow on the cross, you will be with me. Because that was a response to the fellow saying, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And so, the tabernacle of God, now in the ancient times, a tabernacle is used in war. It's where you take instructions for war. It's usually called a war camp, actually. What we call tabernacle is a war camp, from where you give out instructions and take possession and stuff like that. So the Garden of Eden was a place like a war camp where man ought to be a priest. We've done that study before, a king and a prophet. It functions through God's house. It functions through God's tabernacle. That's what it is. So a tabernacle is like a war camp where you initiate battles, you take possession of territories, and it's a place of worship. Because one of the greatest attributes of worship is service. And when we serve God, right, we do His will on earth. And His will on earth is to inherit the earth. So, the tabernacle is that place where God carries out activities. That's why when Jesus, who is God, became a man, John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt. And so we clearly saw the activities of God through humanity. So when Jesus said to that fellow, you'll be with me. It's in the resurrection. Let me quickly mention this. God's tabernacle is now multiplied. Multiplied. And the essence is to keep multiplying. To keep multiplying in increase, in intensity. So quickly. In the book of Acts, Jesus had taken time to teach His folks. Let me give you a background. They are discouraged. They are sorrowful. Jesus is dead. So they don't know what's going on. Now, they had unbelief. He comes back to them. He corrects them by teaching. Mark 16:14. You know, He opens their heart to have understanding. Luke 24:31-32. Luke 24:45. He does that for them. But notice, with all the teaching, He now said to them in Luke 24:49. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, say you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, why does God give us His Spirit? See, you shouldn't lose this one. He gave you His Spirit so that He can reach the world. It's so simple you can't miss it. He gave you His Spirit, the indwelling, and what we call the outpouring. They are to reach the world. So, in other words, we are now His tabernacle. We are both individually and corporately, we are now His tabernacle, which is, we are now His temple. We are now His situation room, where He works to reach the world. That's what we are. And now. So, when Peter was saying, repent and be converted, for the times of refreshing, he definitely was referring to the events of the resurrection of Jesus, where they were taught and they were filled with the Spirit. And it wasn't just once an event. So he calls it times of refreshing. So I'm going to share with us tonight and quickly how to receive refreshing continually. God, notice that Peter in Acts 3 was not talking to individuals, talking to people. You can say he was talking to society. He's talking to, you know, individuals in a group. When he preached, just outside the temple, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 3. So, how do we, now, so I read this, what I'm going to share with us, some of it, not all, from a man I respect, Lord Reverend Christopher Lamb. He's one of the sons of Brother Hagin and is quite used by God across the nations. And when people that have experience are talking, you listen. Is that okay? You listen. Okay? So when he shared this, I knew as I saw it that this is for this convention. So I said I wasn't going to share it, I wasn't going to post it, I wasn't going to talk about it till I got it, because I knew it was his convention. Okay, so now he called it how to experience revival. I won't use the word revival because I believe that term is a new birth. But for the sake of this teaching, we'll call it how to see continuous refreshing, particularly in a local church. See, many times, and you should know this as pastors and leaders, it appears sometimes that, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, that things will just be waning. It will be dwindling. Everybody experiences it. But you see, if we know God's word, we'll know what to do. Things will just wane. It'll just wane. And you know, you don't usually know when it is waning. You know when it has waned. That's the very sad part of it. You know, you just notice that you are distracted. No, you won't know you are distracted. Nobody says I'm distracted. You think you are doing something legitimate. Yeah, yes, you know, this is later on when things must have been gone that if you have sense, some people don't have sense. You look back and say, ah, what just happened? So what Reverend Alam shared is A-L-A-M. What he shared is how to experience it. And when he was saying it, there was something I read and listened to before I got into the ministry. So I understood what he was saying. Now, what was the first thing? So we can say that what happened to the 12, right, and the 70 was a refreshing. Because they had abandoned ministry for a while. They had gone fishing. They had gone back to things they had stopped. You know, they were confused. So, what's the first thing? And you see, this one, usually, we're quiet about it. We don't talk about it. But it is very core. The first thing is repentance. Now, repentance need not be because you sinned. No. And it could be sin too. Repentance is a renewal of mind, a refocus, a fresh consecration. It's the word metanoi, where you change what you are looking at. Now, as a church sometimes, you could be headed to the wrong direction. I'll share this with you. You know, there was a time, and your pastors know this. I just called them. I said, this is not what we should be doing. We shouldn't be doing this. And usually you will sense that in prayer. We shouldn't be doing this. And we're already doing it. Now, for many of us, sometimes we fight with the ego. Ah, no, we've already told people he's God. We've already, you know, all those kind of things like that. It's when you think you cannot make mistakes that you have such problems. Okay? So, there's repentance. What do we need to fix? What is needed to fix? Sometimes, you know, we had gone in a direction God never sent us. Now, this is in no way speaking against what people do. But years ago, we began the Living Word Ministry Academy. We used to call it Leadership Training Program. So somehow, we had a 3-month program for the first set. Some of you are looking at me already, you know my story. And we ran tests for them, then we graduated them. We actually had, now I can say it now, because I think is it 11 years or 10? You should know. Is it 10 years? 10 years ago. Yeah, the first set they are talking. So the 10 years ago. And so we did a graduation for them. And we were all dressed up. I wore tuxedo or something. We were doing graduation for them. There's nothing wrong in graduation. See, when you talk like the people think you are against it. No. No. I'm just saying for us. You know, as we're doing the graduation, that day, I knew we were wrong. I said, no, this is not what... And I found out that why I did it, and very much unlike me, I saw it somewhere, then I did it. So I called, as soon as we were done, I told the leaders, I said, we just did nonsense. Now I'm very quick to do that. It doesn't take me time. I said, this is nonsense. This is not what God told us. Others are doing it, it's fine, because they are okay with God, they're led by God, they're persuaded, but that's not it. You know? And we had to restructure everything. You know, and I found out God was reminding us about the training he gave us to do in the ministry. We went for program. So merely I adjusted it. And the thing about a wrong path is you just keep going. And you'll be seeing the results of what you are doing. So the first thing is repentance. Renew your mind. Then reconsecrate to the original plan. One thing I found, when I read scriptures, I'm still reading scriptures every day. But one thing I found out is God doesn't have second options. If he corrects you, you go back to that original plan. So, repentance. Because in Luke 24:47, he said repentance and forgiveness of sins. Because that had happened to them already in verse 45. He opened their understanding. He called them fools and slow of heart. Luke 24:25. So repentance. And you must be willing to make that adjustment. You must be willing. Because if you are on a wrong path, increased activity doesn't make it right. So that's the first thing. Now, when that happens, now I'm not going to quote Reverend Alain. Like I said, it's not always about sin. Errors, judgments, okay? Then you have a strong teaching or emphasis of the teaching of God's word. He calls it apostolic doctrine. Now let's read this together. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. Strong teaching of God's word. Acts 2. And verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And again, same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now look at it, 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. A huge emphasis on scripture. There is no move of God that underrates the teaching of the word. There's no move of God like that. None. Whether in the Exodus stories or in the prophets, the Psalms, in the four Gospels, the book of Acts, you will see a strong teaching emphasis. Exegesis of God's word. The first thing. Secondly, you'll find fellowship. That's the second thing he says here. He says, and fellowship. Which means, one of the ways we experience this refreshing is to come together very often, and it has to be regular. You know, many of us, we want the move of God, but we don't want what it comes with. Oh, well, do we have to have meetings? Someone told me, he said, there are too many meetings in that church. I said, how many do they have? He said, Bible study. Church service, prayer meeting. Too many meetings. I said, which one of them is not necessary? He said, I don't know. Why can't we have all of them in one day? I said, are you born again? So we have fellowship. Regular. The third one is this. Now, he said it was breaking of bread. Now, if you understand the language of that, it doesn't mean you should come to church with bread. Simply means that the believers, right? Because the feast of the Jews is to show commonness. So, which means breaking of bread is when you come together and you identify as one household. So, which means there was commonness. The rich, the poor, the great and small, they were interacting more. Of course, food for the Jews is where they used to fellowship. Now, the Gentiles didn't really get it. So when the Gentiles will come to the table, they'll bring food for themselves alone. And they'll say, well, I've got more food than you do. And Paul says, no, if you do that, you eat judgment against yourself, because the essence of the fellowship is to show commonness. That's the third one. The fourth is a huge emphasis on prayer. A huge emphasis on prayer. Huge emphasis. Acts 2:42. A huge emphasis on prayer. Huge one. The fifth, right, is strong evangelism. So I'll take it again. A strong. Now, what triggers it is that we walk in repentance. We've missed it somewhere. We got it wrong somewhere. And so we get it right by readjusting ourselves in our minds and our conduct. Okay? And then reconsecrating our lives to the original plan. So when that is done, we will now see the following. A strong emphasis on teaching. I'm going to come back to that shortly. A strong emphasis on teaching. Then fellowship. One of the signs of the move of God is that there are increased meetings. Increased meetings. There will be more meetings. More meetings. Now, unfortunately, somehow we call it programs. But it's fine. But more meetings. Because when God's Spirit is moving, He stirs people to gather more. So that's the second one. The third is that there is much more commonness amongst us. Much more commonness. There is an interaction amongst different classes of society. That's the breaking of bread. We share things together. You just see people sit together. Normally in the commercial world, they can't. Normally in the ethnic groups, they cannot. Normally in the age grade, they cannot. But when it comes to breaking of bread, we're in the same place. Now the fourth one is huge emphasis on prayer. Huge emphasis on prayer. Very strong. Check all the times that God has, had moved amongst people. There will be the strong emphasis on prayer. Like I shared with you a couple of weeks back, when God wants to start anything in the earth, He gets men to start praying. Huge emphasis on prayer. And then there's strong evangelism. Strong, unbroken, passionate evangelism. Notice that when that happened, 3,000 was in Acts 2. Acts 4, 5,000. After a while, they couldn't count it again. They just say multitudes. Why? Because there was consistent preaching of Jesus Christ. Acts 5, 42. So if we want the move of God in our cities, in our towns, in our villages, in our campuses, we need to give attention to these things. The teaching of the word, of course, backed up with strong repentance, right? Teaching of the word, consistent, regular fellowship, commonness and interaction among different grades in the society. Then we said, huge emphasis on prayer. And of course, strong evangelism. What are the signs we are going to see? If there's a move of God's Spirit in a place, now I can share this one easily. What are the signs we're going to see? Firstly, we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Physical, tangible miracles. Why am I sharing this? Listen to me. So that you know what you are praying about. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, remember, when they threatened them in Acts 4, what did they pray? Grant unto your servants that with all boldness, signs and wonders might be done through the name of thy holy servant Jesus Christ. They prayed for that. So, signs and wonders. Number two, what are the signs? Generosity. People are generous. Acts 4, Acts 2, pardon me. verse 46 and 47. Or from 42 down to 46 and 47, people are generous. Acts 4:33, there was great grace upon them, so that they were sharing, verse 34. No one lacked. This is not a question of saying, we are therefore saying that according to the constitution of this church. No. It's a move of the Spirit of God. People are just generous. They want to give. They want to help. The signs. The third one. The social lives. Now I like this one because I live from Reverend Alam. The social life of believers are centered around their worship centers. Why? Because they hear the word of God daily there. Now of course you have people say, no, are you now saying that we should live in church? Nobody's going to live in church. But there will be so much of your life built around the gathering of believers where you come to hear the word so often. The fourth one. I love this one. Believers have favor with people even though they will face persecution from authorities, governments, religious bodies, but there will be favor. And that favor will aid the work of the ministry. Favor. That happened to Jesus and the apostles. Now, let's add a few more. There will be unusual interruptions by God's Spirit. It will change the things we've planned, alter the things that we have laid down. Believers will now be more diligent in their earthly walk. Notice that the early church, they were not breaking laws. The clash they had with the authority was not, they were not obeying the traffic lights. They were paying bribes. Nope. It was about the preaching of Jesus Christ. So they are diligent in their work. Now, one other thing that we're going to see. Men, unusual men will be used by God. The 12 were very unusual. Moses, Samuel, Abraham himself, and Elijah, and very vitally tonight, Saul of Tarsus. This also means there will be increase in laborers. Don't forget, I said, unusual men will be used by God. Whenever you are praying for the move of the Spirit of God, do not teleguide it. Unusual people will be used by God. You are not going to be given the selection process. Your own is to pray. Unusual people. You know, I was telling someone, I said, you are praying for the word of God to grow in Nigeria, but you think it has to be your church. No. That's teleguided prayer. You will have to be content with God using other people apart from you. If you are sincere about the move of God. And let me say something to you quickly. It is human for us to feel entitled. All of us feel that way. I'm the one that prayed now. I'm the one that has been in this city praying and taught, teaching the word of God and all that. Somebody just comes and says, what does he even know? Is he just quoting this one? And you're already getting offended. Deal with it. Usually what happens is that you are left out. Deal with it. So, unusual people will be used by God. Unusual. Not the ones you want. Not the ones you like. Not the ones that you probably wrote their names down. No. Unusual. And there will be increase of laborers working. Hallelujah. Are you hearing something? What are the other things you are going to see? I'll close here. Expect excesses. So I said, but if it's a move of God, why do we have excesses? If God is going to use men, he will always have excesses. The only person that didn't have excess in scripture was when God became man. Every other man can never become God. They will be men. Excesses. Now let me share this. I'm going to talk about tomorrow afternoon. Now I'm saying this to all of us who are promoters of sound teaching of the word. Hear what I'm about to say. You know, sometimes the knowledge of the word will make you critical, not negatively. You want to scrutinize things and say, no, it has to be like this. And it's fine. You know, I do that. But listen, if you read what I'm sharing tonight, some of them are in our first book, Charismatic Ministry. And we said, every move of God has the human touch. Everyone. It now becomes dishonest on your path to focus on the excess. Let me tell you what the devil does. Because he's experienced, he will make the excess one very loud. And then, before we know it, my friends, that is what we are going to be discussing. It's a ploy of the devil. It happens in all churches. You will just ignore the perfect things and focus like a bulldog. You'll be focused on it. You'll be talking about it every day, every day, every day. And so, what happens in our minds is that eventually we say, God did not even move. Dangerous. Years ago, a friend of mine, he said this, was in my room in the university, 1998. He said, I think we are all just playing. Now, we had some 3 years. It was like we're going to blow, not money. There was such intensity. Now something now happened. So one of us just said, I think we're just all exuberant. So I told him, I said, no. It was in my room. I said, watch me. In years to come, those experiences, I'm going to teach about them. He wanted us to focus on the things that went wrong. I said, we shouldn't do that. We are never, ever going to have a thoroughly perfect story. Never. Forget it. So it's just like a marriage, a relationship. You see, all those things you write is faith confession. You are the best person. You are this one. In fact, if I was to come to this world again, as soon as you want to, I'll come for you again. I'll do this one again. Sure. You are making a confession. You are saying, you are deciding to look at the very positive part. That's what you are doing. And it will aid the relationship. But when you see people in the morning, you just focus on, that's how this morning, you did not greet me. Well, greet yourself, you didn't greet you. That's how at night, you did not send me, and you just say that, and everything scatters. So, when you are very particular about the word of God, which is good, you now focus on, but should, is this God? At the end of the day, we get so critical about what went wrong. And we do one thing. We throw away the baby and the bath water and the person bathing the baby. No. You can never do without excesses. That is why the teaching of God's word is important. And we need people that will teach the word of God with experience. Now, for example, if somebody wants to teach about excess in the things of the spirit, I want to see it demonstrated in his life first. You see, if he doesn't have it. Now, somebody was explaining the wrong use of tongues in the body of Christ. So I asked him a question. The man is in his 70s. And I said, do you speak in tongues? He said, no. Have you ever spoken to him? He said, no. So how would you feel if a journalist is writing about medicine? He said, it depends. I said, depends on what? And he's writing the technical details. I said, no. The person that can correct it will be a doctor who has proven in his life to be a person of integrity in the profession. He said, I agree. I said, please drop the subject. You don't speak in tongues. You don't get anybody filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't get people sick healed. No, I won't hear from you. I'd rather hear from Kenneth Hagin. The man was not upset because he's a very humble man. He's just humble enough not to speak in tongues. He said, you cannot. That's why somebody's talking about local church. How local church are. Where is the church you pastored? You are talking theory. So, those that will teach to remove the excess, they will not be those who have the absence. You are telling us that some people are fake prophets. They don't have visions and revelations. Have you ever had one? He said, yes, television. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm sorry. Paul, who corrected the Corinthian church, said, let us come to visions and revelations. I can doubt, I can glory in this one. He had proofs. Proofs. So, now, we have instances, for example, when people are telling people, if you don't give tithe, it will be tithe for you, you will die and all that. Then, you have found commentaries that did not correct that. Commentaries that discourage believers from giving. No, sir. When there's a move of God, people will give. Don't quench the fire of the Spirit by excessive criticism. Don't do it. And do not use newspaper to correct the church. Don't use what you saw. I've told you this before, I'm going to say it again. I'm here. If I see any skits, I like entertainment, I watch things. If I see any video, good or bad, that is trying to speak of a man of God, even the ones I don't agree with, I don't watch it. You don't know what you are doing to your life when you do it. Don't encourage people to use sacred things for jokes. Don't encourage it. Don't. I don't watch it. I don't feed my mind with things like that. I want to go far. So be careful. Don't join people. See, many of us have killed the move of God in our churches by these little things. But we believe God. The coming days are better. And the days have gone behind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear this. Excesses will come. We'll talk about it tomorrow. You will teach it properly. Excesses will come. People will, you see, and you know, you can focus on false prophets so much. In fact, by the time you are done, even those who are prophets will not want to be prophets again. Abba. I told someone, I said, yes. We know there are people who are fake. There's one guy. I have never seen him get it right. In fact, if I want to know what will happen, I'll listen to him. The opposite will happen. I don't want to mention him. I told somebody, the pastor, just a few hours ago, I said, go and check his prophecies. It is always false. That, you know, but you know, there are people, They are not false. No. Tonight, did you see people minister to you accurately? Let me see your hand if you did. Accurately. Exactly. We can have more. Right? More. But we should not use the excesses to judge the original. We have the original. There are those who arrange miracles, but there are those who see miracles. Let's talk about the ones that see miracles. There are those who give out of fear. Oh, if you don't give, there are those who give generously. Focus. See, I like what Peter Wade said years ago. Peter Wade was one of E.W. Kenyon's disciples. Peter Wade said, the gospel is positive. Be positive. I am positive about the church. I am positive about the church. Right? We have excesses. There are people who are excessive on every, there's nothing. Worship, prayer, miracles. There's excess everywhere. Evangelism. Honor. Loyalty, submission, excess. But we are not going to focus on that one. We are going to focus on it as God's word. Are you here? And we believe God for a fresh move of His Spirit in our churches, in our ministries. I'm going to talk about those ones tomorrow. The moment you spot strife, strife starts with arguments. And you often know you are in strife by the things you say when you are alone. It doesn't start with talking to people. It's when you are alone. The kind of thoughts that go in your mind. What's that? It should not be like that. Whatever, you know, it goes in your mind. Then you now look for somebody to share it with. But if you're a wise believer, immediately that comes, you stop it in its tracks. Learn to allow God to use others and just pray for them. Don't forget, we can have refreshing many times in our churches. Be blessed tonight. Be blessed tonight. Pray for your church. Pray for your church. And say, I make it a duty to pray for times of refreshing continually for my local assembly. Come on.